Thank you all for coming today. The topic of my talk is risk of colorectal cancer associated with active smoking among female teachers. Oh, I didn't even touch anything. I have no financial relationships to disclose. Can you hear? Oh, maybe down a little lower. Is that better? So I wanted to start with a little bit of background. Colorectal cancer is the third most commonly diagnosed cancer in the United States. Most cases of colorectal cancer do not have any of the known risk factors. Unfortunately, the five-year survival rate for this cancer is not that great. It's about 64% nationwide. But it is actually a very curable disease if it's caught early. Its survival rates are excellent. So the poor survival rate is primarily due to late stage of diagnosis. Because it typically doesn't present with any symptoms, screening is really critical to early detection and better survival. And because of that, we've seen a growing interest in creating more tailored screening guidelines that take into account lifestyle factors. This is so weird, I'm not touching anything. Anyways. That I was about to change the slide anyways. Yeah. So in terms of what we know about smoking and its role in the etiology of colorectal cancer, it's been a source of considerable debate actually for a few decades now. Initially, there were some risks reported in men, but it looked like maybe there was no risk in women. Recently, just this year, IARC has classified active smoking as a colorectal carcinogen, although there are a number of outstanding questions that we hope to answer with these analyses. And those include whether or not the risks differ for colon and rectal cancer, do the risks differ for subsites within the colon, among those people who stop smoking, do the risks decline, and if so, by how much? And are the risks the same in women as in men? So the objective of our analysis was to evaluate the risks of colorectal cancer associated with smoking among members of the California Teachers Study, considering the sort of lingering issues that are out there that I just mentioned. So the study population was California Teachers Study. This is a cohort of approximately 134,000 female professional school employees. It was initiated in 1995 to study breast cancer. Now that we've got about 15 years of prospective cancer ascertainment, it actually has turned into a really valuable resource to look at other cancers and other health outcomes as well. And we've gathered risk factor information from four mailed questionnaires, including highly detailed information on active and passive smoking. So the current analysis was restricted to 122,000 or so CTS participants who had no prior history of colorectal cancer, who lived in California at baseline, and who answered the questions on the active smoking on the baseline questionnaire. So for case ascertainment, we do this through annual linkages of the cohort to the California Cancer Registry. In doing so, we identified about 1,200 cases of invasive colorectal cancer from 1996 through 2009 among cohort members. Most of these were tumors of the colon, and most of those that were in the colon were in the proximal colon. And then a much smaller percentage were in the rectum. In terms of smoking information, we gathered all this from the baseline questionnaire in 1995, and we were able to categorize women based on their active smoking status upon entry in the cohort, the number of cigarettes they smoked per day, the years they smoked, and then we constructed sort of the standard pack years of smoking, and we also were able to look at smoking initiation, the age at which they started smoking, and among former smokers, how long it had been since they quit. Our covariate information was also selected, also gathered from mailed surveys. We had actually pretty good information on most of the standard covariates for colorectal cancer, including a lot of dietary information, family history on colorectal cancer, personal history of colorectal polyps, BMI, physical activity, et cetera. Our statistical analysis, we use Cox proportional hazards models to calculate hazard ratios with age at start and end of follow-up to define the time on the study. Our initial models were just stratified by age and adjusted for race ethnicity. And then we considered all of the covariates I showed on the previous slide, or potential covariates, in a forward selection process and only included in our final models the factors that change the smoking-related beta coefficients by 10% or more. Since none of them did, we ended up with pretty simple models where we just adjusted for age and race. And so those are the results I'll be showing today. And then to evaluate whether the smoking-related risks varied by anatomic site and subsite within the colon, we calculated a P for heterogeneity by testing for interactions in marginal competing risk models. So these are the this is the characteristics of our study population. You can see it's a predominantly white cohort, about 87% are white, although it is, just by the sheer size of it, we do have substantial numbers of non-white women. And this is just a reflection of who's in the cohort, which is really just a reflection of who was teaching in California in 1995. The cohort is predominantly a cohort of middle-aged women. You can see about 50% are between the ages of 40 and 59, although our age ranged from early 20s all the way up to over 100. About two-thirds of the cohort are lifetime never smokers, 29% are former smokers, and 5% were currently smoking when they joined the cohort. This just shows the distribution of tumor characteristics. As I said before, most of the tumors were in the colon, about three-quarters of them, the remainder in the rectum, and most of those within the colon or in the proximal colon, and the stage at diagnosis. This is pretty similar to what you see in national data as well as California population data. So this looks pretty typical. So these are our results for our risk analysis. This is the risk of colorectal cancer by active smoking status. And you can see we see an elevated risk of about 30% comparing the current smokers to never smokers, but we don't really see much among the former smokers. And for our pack years of smoking, we do see that it looks like the risk is really mostly apparent in the heaviest category. Okay.
No, I think sevens are affected by other rooms. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going the wrong way. Hold on. That's okay. So it's pack years. And I apologize, that last category should be greater than or equal to 31. All my little equal than signs seem to have disappeared in my slides. So. In any case, it does look like the risk is really most dramatic among the heaviest smoking group. And despite that little funny dip in the middle category, the P for trend was significant. Okay. When we looked at the age, did I skip a slide? So now I'm. Okay, no, I didn't. Okay. Looking at age at which the women started smoking, there is some suggestion maybe that women who started smoking at an earlier age had an increased risk. You know, it does kind of look like a little bit of a trend there, but it wasn't statistically significant. Although you can see our numbers are really pretty small in that youngest age category and then also in the oldest age category. Among the former smokers, we do see that among those who quit within the last 5 years, they have an elevated risk compared to never smokers of close to 1.5, but those who smoked longer ago seem to have no difference in risk compared to the never smokers. So these are our results by anatomic site. So you can see on the left-hand side, this is for pack years of smoking. You can see sort of that same pattern we saw overall for colorectal cancer, the two sites combined, where we see that elevated risk among the highest category of smoking. And in comparison, for rectal cancer, it kind of looks a little different. You know, if anything, it looks like there's not really much going on with rectal cancer, and if anything, it would be going in the other direction. And the p-value for heterogeneity in this case was statistically significant, suggesting that maybe the risks are really confined to cancers of the colon. And then when we looked within colon cancer and looked at the sites that, at which the tumors occurred, we do not see really any difference in the patterns of risk for proximal versus distal colon. So a number of strengths and limitations are probably worth noting. First off, in the cohort, we don't have any information on colorectal screening, but this cohort is, an employed cohort with good access to health care and health insurance and generally have good screening for other kinds of screening that we did measure. We also don't have any information on genetic susceptibility to tobacco-related carcinogens, which might be important in modifying these risks. But we do have a number of strengths. One is it's one of the largest cohort studies of women on this topic. We have highly detailed information on smoking. Its prospective cohort design is really good for studying a topic like this where you worry about recall bias. And we had good information on most of the potential confounders. So our conclusions are that active smoking increases the risk of colorectal cancer in women, that the risks are greatest for heaviest smokers, particularly among those who smoke for at least 30 years, that these risks may be limited just to tumors of the colon. The risks seem to be uniform within the colon, so it doesn't seem to matter where the tumor is. After 5 years of smoking cessation, former smokers' risks appears to return to that of lifetime non-smokers. And that risks might be greater for women who start smoking at a younger age. You really need a bigger sample size, I think, to determine that, though. And finally, I think the bottom line is that I think now, in addition to this study, there's been a number of other recent cohort studies in women that have found very similar results. So I think it's pretty clear that smoking is a risk factor for colorectal cancer and that it should be considered in primary and secondary prevention efforts. So lastly, I just want to acknowledge all the other people who worked on this study, including Peggy Reynolds, who's the PI, and our funders. And finally, just thank the participants of the California Teacher Study, without whom we couldn't, do this kind of research. So thank you. And I guess you're not hovering, so if anyone has any questions.
Does anyone have a question or two?
So how did this interact with the colon
Well, you know, for years, there was all this evidence that smoking was related to polyps, but not to colon cancer. And especially in women, there was this theory that maybe it was because of competing estrogenic effects, that maybe tobacco was just an initiator, and then the estrogens sort of prevented it from progressing. I'm not really sure. I mean, I think if it increases the risk of both, and then that actually is some ways easier to explain. Yeah.
Any other questions or comments?
Thank you. Are you going to the parade tomorrow?
Oh. There you go. Excellent. All right. Thank you so much.